Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Now today we've got a great guest. I'm really impressed. She's done some incredible work for rights. And we're pleased to have her. Gloria Allred, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Al.
Gloria, I can't say enough. I after seeing that Netflix documentary, Seeing Allred, I was surprised. I didn't realize how much and how long you've been doing this sort of, how you call it, just helping people out. For the, just their basic rights in all different aspects, from gay to just everything. I just can't believe it. What made you go in that direction for your whole life?
Well, I have been doing this for 43 years, and our law firm is the leading women's rights law firm in the United States, private law firm. I just have a passion for justice. I've always had it. I like to right the wrongs to the extent possible under the law, and I was very fortunate that two of my classmates in law school, I approached them, and they agreed to join me in creating a law firm, and we've been together for all these more than four decades, and, you know, we think that individuals who perhaps don't have power, don't feel they have rights, don't feel they have a voice, should be able to enjoy all of those. And we're there to support them in their quest to win justice. And we feel very honored to be able to do that.
So for all of these years and all of the different fights you've taken on, do you find that it's worse today or better today to try and deal with let's say the sexual harassment or the rights of women or gay people and stuff? Like, there's so many things, but I look at some of the things you were doing in the 60s and 70s, and it seemed to be a harder struggle back then. Is that true?
Well, definitely, I agree with you. And it is easier now because we have more laws that we can use as weapons to assert our clients' rights and to vindicate their rights. And so it is easier now. That's the good news. The bad news is that people are still being discriminated against in employment, by businesses, in other areas of life, simply on account of their gender or their sexual orientation or their age or their race, their physical disability, and other factors. So, you know, we still have a long, long way to go. But the good news is that the public is more and more aware that they do have rights at, to be free of discrimination, to be free of sexual harassment and rape and child sexual abuse and many other areas in which we work. And more people are willing to contact us and assert their rights and to win justice. So I'm very proud of my clients.
Do you think the climate is tougher now with Trump being president? Like, that's sort of my thought on it. I sort of think that he's working against civil rights. That's my opinion. But do you think?
Well, it's an opinion that actually is well grounded in facts, and so I think, for example, that we can make an argument that he is repealing rights, and that he, you know, seems to be insensitive to issues of racism and sexism, and so yeah, I think that your conclusion could be very well argued to be based on facts.
It just seems like it's a setback in the right direction for me.
Well, it is a major setback to have President Trump as president, and more than a setback, it's very dangerous, and because he's very erratic, has told literally thousands of lies, and continues to lie, and seems to very much favor an authoritarian model. And, he doesn't trust our intelligence network. He seems to thumb his nose at the justice system. There are questions about whether or not this is a kleptocracy, whether or not there's corruption, whether or not he has paid all of his taxes, and much more. So it'll be interesting to watch as all of these facts become known and are no longer hidden in the darkness.
Yeah, it's just crazy. There's so much going on. Now, how do you deal with, the perception by people like him and other people that will say things that are kind of mean toward you, more like giving you an, their concept is that you're kind of an ambulance chaser of civil rights or something like that.
Well, that's defamatory. That's defamatory to even suggest that.
Yeah.
So, if people are calling me names, it generally means to me that I've won my argument, because if they had a good argument, they would give it. And if they have no good argument against what I'm advocating for, then they start calling me names. And so that means I've won my argument, and so I can feel good about that fact. And of course, for 43 years, anyone who attempts to win justice in a significant way is going to be called names, and particularly true for women, because women are considered, that they should be subordinated, silent, and I'm not willing to be subordinated. I'm not willing to be silent about injustice. And so, however, none of these attacks by many, many men have deterred me one iota, because I always think about the suffragists, those who fought for so many years, 72 years in the United States, to win the right to vote for women, and they were attacked far worse than I am, and they still continued on their fight to win suffrage for women, the right to vote. And thank goodness for them and the fact they were not deterred by that. There are women who fear criticism of men, and as the suffragists said, women who fear the criticism of men will never do anything meaningful for women's rights. Whereas I don't care what they say, I'm just going to continue towards my goal of winning equal rights and equal protection for my clients under the law.
So now you've been covering a lot of cases, and you take a lot of victims of sexual assault and abuse, and, through Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, and now we've got R. Kelly. Is this just going to end, or is it, what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like there's always someone, and we're not talking just one victim. It seems to be several.
More than several. I represent a number of accusers of R. Kelly who allege that they were victimized by him, who allege that some of them were underage, under the age of 18, and they alleged that he sexually victimized them. And I represent one accuser who alleges she was only 13 years old when she became the victim of sexual abuse by Mr. Kelly. So, you know, the good news is that there is a case ongoing. He is charged in Chicago with 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse. The allegation is against three women who were minors underage at the time of the abuse and one adult. Also, there are many investigations by other law enforcement agencies, in many places around the United States, like the United States Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York. So no matter what happens in this case in which he faces these serious felony criminal charges in Chicago, there may be even more charges waiting for him after this case in Chicago is concluded, or even prior to that.
Yeah, it seems endless. Do you think, I don't understand people's thoughts of why they do such things, you know, like, and how they think they can get away with it. Bill Cosby almost got away with it, but.
Well, I mean, almost as my mother would have said, only counts in horseshoes. He did not get away with it. He was convicted of three counts of aggravated sexual abuse of Andre Constant, and he has been classified as a sexually violent predator, and he is in prison in Pennsylvania serving his sentence. He likes to say he's a political prisoner. He's not. He is convicted of crimes, and that's why felonies, and that's why he's in prison in Pennsylvania. And no face-saving PR is going to change that fact. And I give credit to many of my clients who were accusers of Bill Cosby who came out and spoke their truth. And we just kept persisting and persisting. And finally, there was a prosecution criminally of Mr. Cosby. Some of my clients ended up testifying in that case. And he was convicted. So I give a great deal of credit to many of my clients who did agree to testify.
Gloria, going back to R. Kelly, I watched with a lot of interest the interview that he did with Gayle King. What is your take on that interview?
I think it was a disaster for him. I would hope that his attorney would have told him, don't do it. It's almost legal malpractice if they said, go ahead and do it. We think it's a good idea. Much of what he said will be used against him at trial, potentially. And, of course, he argued that all of the women who are making accusations against him are liars. Obviously, many of my clients have a great deal of problems with that statement, very hurtful to those who were victimized by him. And I just think he made a major mistake in doing this interview. You can see he's got an anger management problem. He's out of control at a certain point. He's ranting. You can see that he looked very intimidating. Credit goes, of course, to Gayle King for keeping herself composed. But what I'm saying is I think this is really – he's really made a mistake doing these interviews.
I think you're right. I think it was it just looked like it was a horrible venture for him to be doing. It looked like it just did nothing but hurt his case.
Yeah, I definitely think it hurts his case. And I'd be shocked if he did any more interviews in the future prior to his trial, but I guess anything is possible with him. You know, he has this notion apparently that this kind of interview can help him. And I don't know if he's seen the feedback on the internet, but clearly he was wrong if that was his assessment.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, you have to wonder where these people come from, like what they do, and
wonder most about him because he's the one that seems to be denying and avoiding reality.
Well, you know, and one of the questions too, when Gayle King, when she asked him if he had ever had sex with an underager, and he said not knowingly, but he married Aaliyah when she was 15 or something, right? So that in itself.
Yeah, I think his allegation is that that he didn't know how old she was or that she lied. I mean, he made up some kind of defense.
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not, you know, I guess we'll have to see as the trial proceeds. But certainly his marriage to 15-year-old Aaliyah is very disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then when we get to Michael Jackson, now with the new leaving Neverland, what's your thoughts on that?
I did watch it, and at least in part, and it was very disturbing because I think that Michael Jackson does fit the profile of a sexual predator, and some of his accusers who were on the documentary, Leaving Neverland, were also, you know, some people had a lot of questions about him. And so I don't know if it's been recently evaluated or not, but I think he fits the profile of a sexual predator, and I think some of his accusers certainly fit the profile of a victim.
Yeah, and I have to wonder about the parents too. They just seem to be mesmerized with fame. And
sometimes parents, they can't believe a celebrity would do that to their children. And you know, but once any adult isolates a child from her parents or his parents, I think that's a red flag. And you know, I think we should not rationalize that, even if the person doing the isolating is a celebrity. It's just very dangerous. You take a person like Michael Jackson, who has admitted to having young boys unrelated to him sleep in his bed. That certainly should be a danger sign to anyone, a parent or anyone else.
Yeah, it's bizarre behavior. Out of all of these cases you've sort of handled and worked with, what was the toughest one for you?
You know, we have a lot of tough issues. If they're easy cases, they go somewhere else. If they're tough, they bring them to us. So I don't know. The one that took us longest was a case where I represented a young woman who alleged she was sexually abused by 7 Catholic priests and had a baby by one of them. We did that for 23 years, and then finally the Archdiocese of Los Angeles admitted it. They decided to settle it, let's put it that way. But that was one of the early pre-sexual abuse cases. And I think after that, many people were inspired to come out and tell their truth about pre-sexual abuse. And we're very happy that we did it because our client, Rita Mia, is a terrific person, and she was victimized, and she had the courage to fight the church, and I commend her for that. By the way, ultimately, all the priests disappeared on the day we filed the lawsuit and held a news conference, but we found the one who we believed was the father of the child. We got an order requiring him to take a DNA test, and in fact, it proved that he was the father of Rita's baby. And he had been a priest, and so we call him the father because the child was literally conceived in the church's rectory.
Wow. Why does it take so long? Why is it so much effort to do something like that one, where you said 23 years?
That one was so unusual. That's because the church, you know, after we filed the lawsuit, they argued that the statute of limitations had run. Of course, we argued that, you know, they had dragged it out. At least Rita, before she came to me, had asked the church to help, and she kept waiting and waiting for the help that she says they promised, and it never came, ultimately. So, you know, it may be that they were trying to run out the clock on the filing of the lawsuit. Ultimately, we thought we had a theory on which would allow us to continue with the case or to file it. We asserted it, but it didn't help in terms of being able to continue with the case. So we went, we helped them get the law changed so she could refile the case. The law was changed. We were able to refile. And at some point then, we were able to settle the case. And that was a great result for Rita.
You know, and in the documentary on Netflix that you were in, you show a tremendous amount of drive. It seems like you live to do this. Where does that drive come from?
Well, that drive, it just comes because I don't like injustice. And I think that those without power should be able to assert power and let those in power, whether they're in the religious world, the celebrity world, the sports world, the business world, the educational world, you know, they have to be accountable to those they victimize. And I think it's very unfair that, you know, people in power can hurt those who are not in power and not have to be accountable. They should need to be accountable either in the criminal justice system or in the civil justice system where, for example, we file cases for adult victims of child sexual abuse. They should have to be accountable either in damages or in the criminal justice system or in both. And so that's...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
That's what we're all about, and we love fighting for our clients, and we like winning for our clients.
One of the things I noticed, too, was you are always there at the press conference, and you're very, very close and supportive of the victim.
That's true. I plead guilty to that.
Yeah, because I quite often you see different cases that, you know, are brought to TV and media, and you don't see that from the attorney. Sometimes they'll speak and do a speech at the beginning, or sometimes be involved in that way. But you seem to be very, very involved. You're very much right there.
I'm very involved with my clients who, you know, who asked me to be involved. And if I can make that commitment, I will. And, you know, I'm proud of them because it does take courage to speak out. and even to vindicate rights. So they're very courageous, and I'm happy to be able to be there to support them. You know, I call this the age of the empowerment of women, and it's also the reckoning. So those who have hurt women should beware, because one day they may wake up and find that their names are out there as having hurt women, and then more and more people may call and say, yes, me too, you also hurt me. And, you know, at some point, if the person's in elected office, they may have to step down, or they may have to be accountable in some way. So if they don't want to have to wake up in the middle of the night worried, then perhaps they should not abuse or mistreat women earlier.
And quite a few cases, I mean, people don't, I don't think they realize, you don't just do high-profile cases, do you? You do lots of cases.
No, and most of my cases are not high-profile. I'd say about 98% are not, maybe 2% or less are. So, you know, we just want to vindicate our clients' rights, whether it's publicly or confidentially. We do handle a lot of cases confidentially. No one will ever know the name of our client. No one will ever know the facts on which we base our claim, or what the claim said, or the fact that there is a settlement conference and we try to resolve it. And no one will know any of that. And in the end, the result may be required to be confidential. So, you know, we have to just protect our clients. That's our main duty.
So do you think we'll ever get through all of these, you know, we'll ever evolve to the point where everybody has equal rights?
Yes, I do think that point will come in the future. Exactly when, I don't know, but we're working toward that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we all hope for, you know. One other, you know, case that you dealt with was with Roman Polanski. And he's never been allowed back in the country. Yeah.
Well, I think he could come back, but he doesn't want to have to face the judge. And so he fled from the sentencing, and that's why he's not in the country at this point. There are numerous accusers now of Mr. Polanski. And so if he comes back, he may end up getting charged, perhaps. That's one of the reasons that he has not returned.
Yeah, yeah. He still gets to jet set around a lot of the world, but doesn't he? So.
Well, he can go to other countries, but, you know, if it's a country that would honor the extradition request of the United States authorities, he may not wish to go there.
That's true. So, with the R. Kelly case, do you think he'll get convicted?
R. Kelly, I think that he's got a lot to be concerned about. I don't like to predict what a jury will do, but I will say, because there's so many law enforcement agencies that are investigating R. Kelly, that it's highly likely that he will be charged elsewhere in addition to Chicago. And you know, depending on how many accusers are permitted to testify, then I think, you know, that that is going to be a very strong determinant of, you know, whether there will be justice or not. And I certainly hope that as many accusers as possible will be able to testify. Certainly many of my clients have spoken to law enforcement, are willing to testify, and then we'll have to wait and see what happens next.
With the change in the Supreme Court and the changes of late, do you think we have something to worry about with abortion and gay marriage being still legal in the near future?
Absolutely. The anti-choice forces, I call them those who believe in fetal supremacy, or the supremacy of a fertilized egg over the rights and the decisions of adult women. Yes, we have a lot to be concerned about with them, because since 1973, they've never stopped attacking the Roe v. Wade United States Supreme Court decision in which the United States Supreme Court decided that a woman does have a constitutional right to have a legal abortion at certain stages of her pregnancy, and that a legislature cannot deny her that right, cannot criminalize abortion. Well, even every, you know, constantly, I was going to say every year, but even more frequently than that, you know, working to undermine, to eliminate, to restrict that Roe v. Wade decision. So, yes, I think we have cause and reason to be concerned. We don't want women to suffer having to get illegal abortions because either there's nobody available in her state to perform an abortion, or because there have been so many restrictions on abortion that they literally can't get a legal abortion in their state. And there are states where a doctor has to fly in, as Dr. George Tyndall did many years ago, to provide abortions at the only clinic that was open in the state to provide abortions. Ultimately, he was assassinated standing in the foyer of the church waiting to hear his wife sing in the Sunday choir. And he was assassinated by someone who believed in anti-choice. So I guess he believed in the right to life, except not in the right to have a life for the abortion doctor who was so courageous to perform abortions.
Gloria, going back, if you don't mind, let me go back to R. Kelly. I've got a question. Given the fact that they allowed him to do this interview with Gayle King, which in my opinion, and I'm not an attorney, is sort of like crazy to do, do you see R. Kelly being testifying in court?
Well, I don't know what you mean by who's they allowed him. He made the decision, obviously, to do it. And, you know, it's not a surprise that Gayle King would love that interview to take place, which it did. Is he going to testify? Most defendants who are charged with crimes do not testify because their attorneys advise them it's not in your interest to take the witness stand because you'll be cross-examined by the prosecutors and you may not be able to, you know, sustain cross-examination. On the other hand, it is the right of the defendant to testify if he wishes to testify. And that's what, you know, very few have done, but he could decide to do it. Who knows? Given his performance with Gayle King, I think that would be a huge mistake on his part because I don't think he's in control of himself. And, you know, his answers could cause him to be convicted just on what he says alone. That's possible.
Sure. Sure.
Man, she stayed calm. Boy, she's getting an award for that.
Yeah, well, it's better. It's always better to be calm of anger of another person and hostility. So not to react to that because that would just escalate the anger in the other person.
Yeah, actually, I saw
that. You did a good job. Great job, yes.
Yeah, that Netflix, when you were being yelled at on the streets.
Right.
By that guy.
Steps to the Lincoln Memorial, yes.
Yeah, and it's just like you stayed really together that whole time. It was just, and he was real aggressive yelling at you, you know.
Yeah, very interesting, too, because it turns out that same person who was in the documentary yelling at me in the documentary. We saw him, I think, last year at the Gay and Lesbian Pride parade, which I'm in every year in West Hollywood. And there he was, I think, with a bullhorn with other anti-gay and lesbian protesters. And that was rather surprising. Here he was in Washington, and yeah. Then all of a sudden now he's in West Hollywood. So I guess he feels very strongly about denying potentially civil rights and equal justice or equal rights under the law for people who are gay and lesbian, and he appears to, you know, at least be at different points of the country making his views known.
He just has nothing else better to do, I guess.
I don't know, but it was rather surprising to see him there.
Great. Yeah, just crazy. So what do you got coming up next? I guess you've got R. Kelly. Any other big cases you're working on?
I also represent one of the two victims, or the persons who are alleged to be victims in the Harvey Weinstein case. It's a criminal case pending in New York, and the trial is set to take place in June, early June. So, of course, you know, Harvey Weinstein has been accused, I don't know, by 60, 70, maybe more women who allege that he engaged in sexually inappropriate conduct with them, some alleging sexual assault or rape. In any event, out of all of those women, there are only two who are alleged to be victims of the criminal case in New York, and that's the only criminal case now pending against him. There are many investigations. It's the only case in which he's actually been charged. And so I'm representing one of the two victims, or the person who's alleged to be the victims, and she's very brave, and I'm honored to represent her. And that's going to be a very interesting case. Also, what's going to be, he's charged with, you know, rape and or forced oral copulation and sexually predatory conduct. If he were to be convicted of sexually predatory conduct, he could get a sentence of life in prison. So we'll have to wait and see. He's entitled to a fair trial, due process. But I think the victims also, like persons alleged to be victims, are also entitled to a fair trial. So we'll see what happens. He's got a new defense team. He's adding lawyers to it. Now he's added women lawyers to it. So apparently he's going all out. I'm losing count of how many lawyers he does have on his defense team. Quite a few. Well, he's got a lot at stake. I understand that. So we'll see what happens at the trial.
Is there any advantage to him hiring so many lawyers? Like, why do you need so many?
Well, apparently he was looking for women lawyers as well, I guess because accusations are made against him by women, and perhaps he feels that it'll look better for the jury to have women defending him. I don't know. Maybe that's not the reason. But he also has men on the defense team. This is a trial which, if he lost, he could go to prison. So it's understandable that he would want to hire a lot of lawyers, very experienced lawyers, and defend himself. So that's not a surprise to me. He has changed lawyers. He had a very experienced lawyer, Ben Brafman. Apparently that came to an end, and now he's hired Jose Baez and some other lawyers. So we'll have to wait and see what kind of defense they have.
Yeah, it just seems like I don't know how they expect to. So many people know about the case. How do they expect to find a jury that isn't aware of all the different allegations?
Well, great question, and the answer is they probably can't find a jury that isn't aware of many allegations against Mr. Weinstein. On the other hand, I'm sure they will question their jurors in voir dire and ask them if they have heard about accusations against Mr. Weinstein, and if they have, are they still able to be fair and impartial and reach a decision or a verdict based solely on the evidence that is introduced in the courtroom and not on based on anything that they've heard outside of the courtroom? That would be a standard type of question to ask jurors.
This is kind of a question. Do you think Hollywood's really forgiving of these types of people down the road?
Forgiving? I do think many of them have been down and then come back up. But let's also say that, you know, I mean, I don't just handle cases involving Hollywood personalities or in the music industry like R. Kelly or, you know, Harvey Weinstein, film producer. Or Bill Cosby, television personality. We handle many other kinds of cases as well. For example, we have a case right now with more than 60 women that we represent. That's 6-0. And we're suing USC, University of Southern California, and Dr. George Tyndall, who was a gynecologist there for decades, alleging that Dr. Tyndall sexually abused our clients and that USC had notice of complaints of sexually inappropriate conduct, and yet they continue to employ him there. So we do many, many different types of cases, and we take it very, very seriously if someone alleges they've been sexually abused or harassed.
What have you ever had cases kind of like what's going on with that Jussie Smollett, you know, the you know, do you come across ones where people sort of make up their assault?
If we feel that our client or a potential client is lying to us, of course, we're no longer going to represent them, or we won't take their case in the first place. But most people who come to us are telling the truth, and, you know, they usually have evidence to support what they say. And so, you know, if it is within our area of expertise and we can do it, we will, assuming it fits the legal requirements that are going to be necessary. But I feel that there are more cases where people are telling the truth but don't proceed to assert their rights than there are of cases where people are lying and trying to get something based on a lie. Again, if we don't feel they're telling the truth, we're not going to be representing them.
Yeah, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Wow. It's been amazing, and I think you do a great job, and us here at the station love it when we see you on TV and and talk.
Well, thank you. I do hope it inspires people to stand up for their rights, to assert their rights, to want to vindicate their rights in a court of law. We also do many confidential settlements, so protecting the client's privacy and the accused's privacy, where we're able to resolve cases without filing a lawsuit, just by having a confidential settlement. And that's fine, too. A lot of people think, well, now that's not a good thing to have confidential settlements, but it can be. We need to do what our client wants, and in many cases, they don't want anyone to know they were raped or sexually abused as children, and we're able to get accountability in the form of a settlement from the wrongdoer, because we always say the wrongdoer should bear the cost of the wrong, not the victim. And so there are many ways to do this, and the main thing is it's very empowering to individuals when they know there is something that they can do, that they are doing. So instead of being on the defensive that they were victimized, now they're on the offensive, and the person who is on the defensive is the person who hurt them. And that's the way it should be. This is the reckoning. This is the age of empowerment. And this is the age of equalizing power between victims and the predators.
Well, we thank you. I think you're doing a great job, and we're glad there's lawyers like you out there. So,
well, I'm very honored to be part of your program, and I'm glad that you're out there with your program. And I am very honored that you invited me on your show, so thank you so much. And if people wish to contact me, they can easily contact me. Just go to GloriaAllRed.com, and they'll find out how to contact me. We do have offices in Los Angeles and New York, and we do take cases in many different states, and we're just very thrilled that people want to win justice, and we love the opportunity to show them how that can be done, if it's possible.
Great, and we'll have your website attached to ours as well, so people can do one click if they listen through the internet, which a lot of people do now. Thank you very much, Gloria.
Thank you, Al. Have a wonderful day.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.